You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Happy holidays. Welcome back to Cool Games, Inc., a video game design podcast from Polygon.com. I'm Griffin Mack.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Happy holidays,
hey,
Nick.
Hey, it's the season.
And when I say holidays, I meant to spell it H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E.
Ooh, okay, because it's such a, it's very busy, it's a busy time, is that what
you're... Because it's just all the family and the gifts.
Don't get me started on the
gifts. And the snow and the lights.
I remember last Christmas, Griffin, do you remember what I got you?
You got me 10 copies of the DVD of Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you got...
I was all pissed off because I wanted the Blu-ray.
Right. Well, there was a deal on Amazon where I could either get the Blu-ray for $39.99 or the DVD for $3.99. So
right,
I was like...
with 10.
If it's 40 bucks either way, I'm sure Griffin would rather have one copy of Avatar in all 10 of his DVD players than... You know,
yeah.
a single Blu-ray that is, you would have to cart from
one.
Home to home.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
and
not
what's
convenient.
Great is, yeah, I did have like an Avatar block party where we all, me and my neighbors, who I hadn't met up to this point, mm-hmm. I finally got the courage to ask them to hang out with me in the middle of the street, and we made, you know, little fair food, Na'vi-themed fair food. And the kids did face paint, and it was really fun. And then at like 6 p.m., everybody took their copy of the DVD home,
mm-hmm.
and we all just pressed play at the same time. We talked about the movie over walkie-talkie, so it was a good party.
That was hard to, because I remember when we all had to kind of try to sync it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the sync
yeah.
point that you chose was the first mention of the word unobtainium.
Right, and because it's around the time when the man becomes giant and blue,
mm-hmm.
when he transforms into the giant blue monster. Haven't seen Avatar. That's the only point I'm interested in. I do, like, when I watch Space Jam, I don't want to watch the man playing basketball in the real world for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get right into the movie.
I mean, as I feel like as a pair of millennials, you and I both kind of, our attention span is such that we just want to like cut out the middleman. We don't need no
mm-hmm.
setup. We want the meat. And the meat of Avatar is the scene where the main character of Avatar, that guy, you know, the guy
transforms into a big, giant blue
muscles
angry
ripple
monster.
And his skin starts to deepen into sort of a blueberry color.
I gave the same treatment to another of Jim Cameron's films, which was Titanic. And when that came out on VHS, it came in two tapes. And the first one was romance and at the end, nudity. And then the second one was iceberg disaster action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just went ahead and threw that first tape away because A, boring, and B, too mature. For a PG-13 movie, the MPAA really dropped the ball on that rating, didn't they?
They screwed the pooch.
You remember what I got you for the holidays last year?
Yeah,
Nick?
You got me a gun.
Yeah, and you know why?
Mm-hmm.
For safety and protection and hunting and fun.
There's
and
a lot
sport.
Of good reasons to have a gun, and I didn't keep it, but it was one of those ones where.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get?
This
is an important question. How did you get rid of it? Because there's a legal, ethical way to do it.
So I wiped all my fingerprints off it. What you had done is you had taken the receipt and you had sort of rolled it up and put it down the chamber of the gun. And so
which was dangerous because you might look at that and think it's one of those joke guns that say bang.
Yeah, like a flag that pops
but
out.
No, it's one of those gun guns that has bullets
regular
in it and
gun.
Shoots.
So what I wound up having to do, and this took like a whole afternoon, was I actually loaded the gun. I turned off the safety and I fired it into the air, which knocked the receipt out and very, 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 very high up in the sky. And I had to kind of watch it flutter down and kind of walk around my subdivision until I found it. It landed on the roof. Of the kind of the pool, the entrance to the subdivision.
You didn't just give the gun to somebody else, right? Like Did you transfer the license over and do it, like, you sold it good, right?
Well, here in my neighborhood in San Francisco, there's a really sort of fun, those little scavenger hunt game.
Oh, geocache.
Yeah, I geocached it. I went to the local geocache and I put it in the mailbox.
Well, that's not a geocache, bud. Mm. That's a postal service box.
Well, I mean, legally, if I put the address on anything, if you write an address on something, the postal service has to deliver it.
It's mail.
So
yeah.
I mailed a gun. I wrote an address on the side of the gun, and I.
Well, you really shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You hoping to find any games from Santa Claus?
Yes, that's all I want. This year, I've asked my memory and my dabber for 100 of games because I want to do different games on my computer. How about you?
Yeah. Yes.
What did you
yes.
ask your memory and your dabber for?
Oh man, Dune,
Doom. Doonesbury
2016. It was in development hell for a long time, and then it was just in regular hell.
It was going to be Doonesbury 4, and then they kind of threw it all out and started over.
It was too much like Call of Duty. This is the stupidest intro we've fucking literally ever done.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Do you want to do... this is going to be a junior size ep. We're going to do a little baby one.
I just want to keep talking about holiday games with you. Yeah. I don't know that we're going to have an episode next week, because you're going to be traveling, and also it'll be, I think, Christmas Eve or something. Basically, when this comes out, more or less.
Yikes.
I just want to talk about holiday. Let's real quick, we'll do this and then we'll do the thing. Do you have a favorite holiday present that you got, game present that you got that you freaked the fuck out?
I remember getting there's a few. I remember getting a PlayStation 2 and Metal Gear Solid 2, and that being a big deal. Another huge one for me was the year I got an N64, and the two games I got with it were Pokemon Snap, which I beat on Christmas because that game is 45 minutes long.
14, yeah.
And then Beetle Adventure Racing, which I played for the next 7 years.
That's a good slate. We got N64 the Christmas it came out, which was like a miracle that my parents were, Santa Claus was able to find it. Mm-hmm. But what was great that year is that they only made, in true Nintendo fashion, 10 of each game. And so the only game, we got Shadows of the Empire. Thank God they could lock down a copy of Shadows of the Empire. And then they also got Gretzky Hockey NHL 96.
Now, were you a hockey fan?
Oh, no.
But after Christmas.
Oh, I can tell you all about the San Francisco Knights.
Mm-hmm. That's our team. Do you know why they're called the Knights? A lot of people don't know this.
Why is that?
I'm one of the people who doesn't know it. That's why I was asking.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think it has to do with here in SF. I've been living here for 4 or 5 years now, but every day at the end of the day, if you're on the roof of your building or if you're near the bridge is a really good place. If you look up at the sky, the sun goes down and, it turns into nighttime and then, you can't. Very hard to see, and that was hard for me when I first moved here because it was very hard to get home because there's no lights.
Yeah, because the light went away. Man, Hollyweird.
Yeah, that Hollyweird, California.
Here's one.
What do you do? Yeah, explain the podcast.
People send us suggestions. We dick around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Pet Kitties says, "Deal or no deal with mimics."
Mimics from.
I think Dark Souls or Final Fantasy. These would be a treasure chest.
Like a treasure chest with teeth and a tongue comes out. That kind of mimic.
It comes out and it eats you. And in Dark Souls case, I don't know why they went this particular direction. It also sprouts a beautiful long body, and then it does fucking straight up bicycle kicks, rotating cyclone kicks in the air, and just fucks your shit up.
Has anyone ever cosplayed that? Because that's one of my favorite character designs ever, is this fucking Groot. With a treasure chest
on his head. This Groot motherfucker with a treasure chest on his head that can do straight up Ryu crazy flying Shoryuken. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the punch, isn't it?
Well,
man, I don't know anything about fighting games. So this would be 15 briefcases and Howie Mandel and a contestant. And there's 15 women wearing, nice formal dresses. Mm-hmm. And you pick the suitcase, and then it's are you sure? Howie Mandel doesn't really fuck with him as much anymore, does he?
He's kind of, in his old age, he's kind of slowed down. And he's
kind of gotten a little bit lazy with it. But back in the day, he used to be like, number
Are
eight.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, man. And he used to like have a real rapport with the Shadow Man who makes all the offers.
Right. He had a back and forth going that he is missing today. But
so inside of each briefcase is an amount of money from $1 to $1 million, but also three of them are filled with monsters that will attack you and the women that have the dresses on.
Right. And so, okay. I think this is a very good idea, obviously, but I think why stop at mimics? I want there to be bloodstains from previous contestants that are kind of being like, good treasure ahead, right in front of case number nine.
Oh, shit.
You know, that could really mix the game up.
Yeah, that could be great, actually. A version of Deal or No Deal, where you actually, it's not just random bullshit. Mm-hmm. What a bad game.
It's not a good game. There's not a lot of strategy to it.
I will fuck around with the arcade version, though, literally every time I see it.
Because I've seen that in the arcades. It's just a big, kind of a big screen, and then you make some choices. It's like gambling, except for you can't win anything. Is it, do you win tickets? Now, when you see that, like, and when you play it, is it immersive? Do you feel like you're there with Howie?
It's immersive. Howie's there.
There's an FMV Howie? Is that how it works?
There's FMV Howie. There's FMV women in nice dresses. There's an FMV Shadow Man. And then there's real tickets that come out, and you can spin those on little airplanes and paper airplanes and soldiermen.
I'm starting to get the sense that if you were on Deal or No Deal and you won $100,000, you would probably end up spending it on arcade prizes, like a little stretchy guy.
That's a good point.
Or
yeah,
maybe a RC car.
You just gotta be a place where you can just buy those, huh?
I don't think that that's true. I think that those gifts are all exclusive, and tickets are the only currency.
You ever watch Deal or No Deal? And I think this about like a lot of games. Like I used to watch some like poker, like Celebrity Poker Tour, and the whole time I'm watching, I just thought like, man, if I had X-ray vision, I could fuck this game up.
No,
I do that. No joke. I think that all the time because I have a dumb brain, but I'll see, like, I'll watch poker, and I'll be like, man, I'd be so good at this if I knew what everybody had.
I was on a flight. See, here's the thing about that is you would have to couch your powers in such a way that you don't get caught cheating, right? Like,
bro, this is the game. This is a game. Poker, but everybody's Supermans.
Well, you're Superman, and you're trying to, well, how do you want this to work? Everyone is Superman? Because then that's a bad game. There's no bluffing.
Well, no, everybody's Supermans, but if you get caught X-raying, then it sucks.
You're out.
So you're looking at your cards, but you're also Superman X-ray visioning your neighbor, but if you got to do it discreetly.
That's hard. So first of all, no sunglasses, because that would break it completely. Can Superman, and I don't remember, I'm just in the current canon of Superman, he has a lot of powers. He has a wide slate of powers. He's got laser muscles and all the different, he can turn into metal. Is one of Superman's powers?
His legs are a drill, and he drills down into the earth.
He's got those drill dozer legs. Is one of his powers, can he, like a chameleon, point his eyes in different directions? Because that would be fun. I like that idea.
Yeah, there's sort of these fleshy stalks at the end of just sort of free rotating orbs. Because, I mean, he's an alien. Just have some fun with it.
Right. Make him look like an alien.
I wish when Stan Lee had come up with Superman that he had been like, not been like, it looks like a dude. Like, he's.
Hey, great alien, Stan. Good design.
Yeah, great design. He's just like a big man.
Imagine
Excelsior.
Sitting there with a big sheet of paper. He's like, all right, I'm making an alien. I can draw whatever I want. How about two legs, two arms, a head, and some hair?
Glasses.
Good idea.
I just want to say that was a great joke, but like I just am so tired, Nick. Please don't tweet at me about Stanley.
I knew that was I could hear the tone of our voice. It maybe wasn't jokey enough that we would get some. So just hit backspace on your tweet right now.
Just delete it.
Don't
send. And now somebody's deleting. Like, oops, did it too fast? Yeah, you did. Just sit on it for like a minute next time.
Here's an idea from Donut Secret One, who says, you know Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, right, Graven?
Yeah, I don't think I ever played it.
It's okay.
Know
you know Puyo Pop?
Yes.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is literally Puyo Puyo, except with characters from the Sonic cartoon in it.
Okay.
Donut Secret One's idea is Dr. Robotnik's Nice Rice Device.
Is this just Mean Bean Machine, but the things are different shapes?
Well, some of the beans in Mean Bean Machine would have angry eyebrows. So instead of being mean, it is nice. It is rice. And it's... Well, okay, hold on. I'm realizing now, if it's rice-shaped pieces, this is just Dr. Mario. Like, Dr. Mario is already a puzzle game with rice-shaped pieces, which actually brings me to Scribshanks' idea, which is holistic Dr. Mario.
Well, okay, hold on. Pause that one.
Okay.
I like the idea of Dr. Robotnik having a variety of food machines. Fuck, didn't we make Dr. Robotnik pinball food cooking game?
Somehow, in a meager 40-something episodes, we've done two mentions of Dr. Robotnik with a food machine.
Time is a flat circle. Dr. Robotnik is a hungry fictional character.
But what, finish that thought, though. There's no bad ideas. You like the idea?
I'm just saying, what if he had a variety of machines that, when used together, were like 8 puzzle games, but they also created a perfect Chipotle burrito?
Oh, so the final boss is kind of a like Tetris versus Puyo Puyo situation where you're dealing with all these different types of pieces at once, trying to put together the perfect super burrito.
It would be like Dr. Robotnik's
guac squawk macaque. I think they probably worked harder on Nice Rice Device than we did on that. They put some time into it. And that's the hard thing with podcasts is we kind of have to make it all up
we
right
have
now.
We have to just say it. And sometimes that's this is like one of those like PBS like specials for kids about like what happens on the farm. But you go behind the scenes and it's just a man and hasn't slept ever. He hasn't slept in December and he just said guac cock and then he held his head in his hands.
I got a really, really nice Tumblr message from someone that was anonymous this past week that was this was so sweet. They were like, hey, I'm thinking about starting my own podcast. When you and Griffin do your show, do you like how much of the jokes have you written ahead of time? Like, do you go in with a bunch of material already, or do you like how long does it take you to script it out? And I'm like, oh my god, bless your heart.
We have two story producers and they just sit here and they're frantically shuffling through just a deck of index cards with some jokes that they had pre-programmed.
There's a lot of stuff we're saving for season 2, obviously.
Yeah, so Gary just handed me guac cock and I was like, ooh, are you sure? Okay. And I said it, and the director's looking at me now. He's shaking his head. No, don't say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll edit it out.
The idea, I think, with that decision was that it was a Cool Games Inc. Junior, and so we kind of got to burn some of our leftover material on this episode to make way for 2017 during sweeps. We got to get the good shit, all the good material.
Yeah. You got any other suggestions?
This could be interesting. Dovakla says, Scribblenauts, the lost words. Can you get the star right using exclusively profanity and licensed brands? So basically, it's an inverse Scribblenauts where the only words in the game are the words that you're not allowed to use in Scribblenauts, right? So Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And
Coca-Cola bastard.
Right. Right. You could now, in this version of the game, write Mazda butt cheek and it would show up. Whereas in classic Scribblenauts, much to my chagrin, Mazda Buttcheek never did anything.
Yeah. First of all, Mazda Buttcheek's mixtape is the most fire album of 2016.
Really good. Him and Bobo Dakes.
A lot of people are coming at me and they're like, no, it's Chance the Rapper. And it's like, no, Chance is great. But Mazda Buttcheek really, really knows how to put an album together. Mazda Buttcheek's, did you hear his track on Bon Iver's new opus?
I didn't.
It wasn't very good, but it's not his genre. Fuck, this could be good, and it would be so hard. Here's the thing about Scribblenauts. It's brilliant. It's one of the most brilliant games ever made, except for the one small fact that basically any level can be solved by typing an invincible jetpack.
Right. I Super Scribblenauts was a game that I basically completed just by typing writable flying lawyer over and over. And lawyer would appear with little sort of demon wings on him. I would climb onto his back and ride him to my destination.
Which, again, the most that was I played Scribblenauts at, I think, the first E3 I ever went to.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew what that game was at that point. Like, I think it had just been announced. And it was the most exciting thing ever because me, like a young games writer, went back to like the press room and was like, guys, there's this fucking game where you can type in literally anything and it's in there. And it's still cool and it's amazing what they made, but Invincible Flying Lawyer with Jetpack Gun.
Writable. Like, you have to write writable so that you can ride him.
All right. All righty then.
Yeah, shit. So this is much more restrictive then, right? Like, if you want a sports car, you have to write a sports car. You can't, there are no real jetpacks in the world, so you can't write a jetpack brand in Scribble Not the Lost Words, which actually I think makes the whole thing much more grounded.
Okay.
So I think.
Okay.
Makes it,
yeah, sure.
Like, when you're limited to cusses and products, the world is much more, realistic.
Yeah, it's like I gotta hold down this button so I can go through the gate. Ass. And just there's an ass, and it holds it down. Do you think, this game might be hard to get this one past the ESRB, huh?
Maybe. Well, there's so many, like, erotic dating sims that have circumvented Steam and done just fine. I think, why not us?
There are erotic dating sims that have circumvented Steam?
Yeah, you bypass it. You don't go on Steam. You go your own way. I think my bigger concern is if, like, I don't know, if the makers of... Name a brand for me, Griffin.
Oh. Any old brand?
Anything. Anything will do.
God. Geico.
Yeah, see, Geico... If I wrote Geico Lizard, big, 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 big penis... Are we supporting adjectives or no? I think we have to.
No, just Geico cock, and it has to know that the lizard will appear.
Right, because it's not going
to... And he's going to have it, that big nasty thing.
So he's going to... It will be green, I think, also, as well. They might... I'm worried that the brand managers of that lizard will take umbrage with what we've done by specifically only pairing it with lewd... and censored words. They might not be down.
Or maybe they'll love, maybe they love it. Maybe they have a really good sense of humor. They're like, that's our British gecko. I see what you did with them. That's very funny.
I see enough like sort of sponsored posts on the internet now that are brands trying specifically to appeal to just fully go Denny's with it and capture that millennial audience. There's a there's a pretty good chance that somebody within Geico Marketing HQ has been really pushing for him to have a big old green lizard penis for like months, and they'd be over the moon if we pitched them.
Not on the commercials, but online.
Just like, only online,
anything goes.
Right.
I want to see a sponsored Tumblr ad that's like, look at Gordon Gecko's Geico's.
That's him.
Raging Rod.
And I like this. I imagine that this person, every time a new picture of the Geico Gecko with a big dick pops up online, they're like,
yeah,
"Fuck, they're eating our lunch. This could be us. This could be us, but we're playing." Do you have any ideas, or do you wanna? Because I got a healthy batch. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Give me some more of your. Well, actually, here's a good one. It's from ePro, who says, "John Madden's football money shot." You play as the coach, and you have a revolver.
Be careful now, Griffin.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Just whatever. Keep going.
You play as this is a horny episode. You play as the coach, and Merry Holidays. You play as the coach, and you have a revolver with one bullet that you may use at any point during the game.
Mm.
Do you try to shoot the football out of the air? Do you try to shoot the opposing team's coach? Do you try and shoot the opposing team's quarterback? Do you try and shoot the opposing team's quarterback's mother out of the stands? Wow, that last one is pretty horrible.
It's kind of dark.
Let's take this. I don't want a game where you just fucking shoot unsuspecting people. What are we, the early modern warfare games?
Halo, woo.
No, no, this Russian. Is going to be, we're talking about mutant football. So
okay.
It's like skeletons and zombies, and you can shoot them and it's fun.
It's smart. That's funny how that works, how as soon as it's demons, you can just really rip them in half.
They want to get shot. They have fun with it. So this is football. Pass me the pigskin, baby.
My immediate reaction is...
Yeah.
It seems like there would be, if you're, let's say you're the away team and you're mm-hmm. you're untrusting of the referee, you shoot that mutant referee from the jump, and then it's no
rules.
The
referee's actually a man.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a human man.
So, but does that mean I can't shoot him?
I guess you can.
Because I don't want that fucking first-person shooter thing where you point your gun at like an unkillable story NPC and your character just puts the gun down and you can't.
Yeah, like a little green X appear. Okay, yeah, fine. He's a skeleton.
All right, I will blast him apart, and then there will be no rules for the entire duration of the Mutant League football match. Everyone does what they want.
Can I tell you? That's fucking great. That would be a fucking very, very good, very good use of your bullet. How about this one? You're down by two because of a stupid safety from the first period. and your team has it on the, you know, the 60-yard line, right? So it's a big field goal.
Trust me, I know exactly where on the football field that
is. And your team goes in, and your punter goes in and punts it, aiming straight for the big fork. But it's a little bit to the left, and then it's high noon. Whippa-tang!
You put a little English on it. You kind of, what was that movie, Wanted? What was the one where they were putting spins on a bullet?
It
was Wanted. Wasn't it called Wanted?
It was Hancock.
It was not Hancock.
It was the one with Will Smith and
I wrote putting spins on the bullet movie. I'm not fucking joking, Griffin.
Hancock was...
It might as well have been Hancock. I wrote putting spins on the bullet movie into Google, and it says, did you mean putting sperms on the bullet movie?
Damn, even what's the most horny time of the year?
What is up with this season? It's, you know, I mean, that's what they say. It's cuffing season. It's a little cold outside. You...
Don't know what that means. Hancock. It was Hancock, the movie with the bullets.
It wasn't. I promise it wasn't. That was Will Smith's sunglasses.
I'm watching a trailer for Hancock right now, and Will Smith is curving bullets around Charlize Theron.
No. Incorrect. False.
Jason Bateman is here, and he's dodging bullets.
This
would be fucking great. Shoot the ref. No rules. Shoot the ball to get that extra field goal. So fucking clutch. Shoot the other quarterback. Why not? There's probably a second string quarterback, and you don't get any extra bullets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What other applications could there... Maybe in the first row, somebody's about to throw some pretzels. This pretzel man seller is about to throw them to the person who just purchased it, but you shoot the pretzel man, and he changes his arc, and now you get the pretzels.
So you're back to killing people again, I'm noticing. Or is this man
a mutant?
It's
not a man, fine. It's not a man. It's a fucking merman.
It's a mutant man. They're mutant pretzels.
It's a goblin man.
Could you shoot... Let's say you're on the seventh, eighth of the game. It's almost over. Okay. You're winning. You're up by 100 point, 100 touchdowns. The other team is, though they're on like the zeroth yard line, and they're about to score a big point.
That's the 100 yard line. If they're about to score it.
That's what I said. The 100 of yard line. And they're going to do a touchdown right into the goalpost, and they're going to do a victory
running
dance.
Running or throwing?
They're going to throw it and then catch it and then do a dance for those, get the extra points. And that's going to be
illegal.
It's illegal, but I killed the ref. So that's a problem. That's going to be enough to put them over the edge. You know what I do as a master tactician? This game's almost over. All I got to do is stall. I shoot the blimp above the stadium out of the sky.
Holy
it lands
shit.
On the field. No one can do anything. It's like a bunch of children underneath the little big parachute, big rainbow colored parachute. Everyone's running around. Nobody knows where the teammates are.
Nobody knows.
You can't throw a pass in a rainbow umbrella at blimp that I popped.
Absolutely not. I mean, you could also use this to stop like, oh no, the receiver of the kick from special teams. He broke away and he's going so fast, fast as his little orc or goblin or robot legs will take him. There's only one thing I can do. Goodyear blimp. Floom, boom, down.
Pop.
Gone.
And he landed on him and you got him. Do you have any, I there's so much. This week was surprisingly good. I feel like it's all winners.
No, I don't.
What if I told you about, oh shit, I'm in the wrong area. There we go. This Matthew Moore says, Dishonored mechanics, but you do nice things for people. Cleaning the house, leaving presents, walking the dog, all without ever being seen, and it's called Secret Santa.
Okay. I mean, why not instead of just this idea of doing abstract favors, what if it is a Santa game, and you are Santa?
Yeah, I think it's just Dishonored mechanics, but you're Santa Claus.
You're Santa Claus. Are you Tim Allen Santa Claus?
No, because I think the in order for it to be Dishonored mechanics, I think that implies a level of competence and a level of skill that Tim Allen lacks. I think maybe if at the end of the game you get accidentally killed by Tim Allen and that sets
then,
it up for a sequel.
Bonus, new game plus character. Have we talked about whether or not, have you seen the Santa Claus?
Yes.
And it's with an E,
I'm so glad we finally mentioned a movie that I've seen, because I haven't seen Titanic, but I have seen the Santa Claus, so I think we're good to go.
You haven't seen Titanic.
No, I haven't seen that one. I didn't make it to that one. I was like seven when fucking Titanic came
out. You were fucking four when Santa Claus came out. I don't want to hear it. Okay, Santa Claus. Have we talked about, because this would be the only show I think, I can't think of any of my other podcasts, but I feel like I've talked about this before, and it feels like, do you know what I'm saying? You're the only type of person that I would talk about this kind of stuff with.
That means a lot.
But the sequences in which he, like, gains a bunch of weight very, very quickly, does that have, like, impreg, like, ramifications?
Yes. But I think it was a situation where when they wrote that movie, when they pitched that movie, we didn't have a word yet for MPreg, right? Like, we didn't know as a society what that was. It was too early. So
Santa Claus is Home Improvement, like, MPreg fanfiction.
For sure. But at the time, it was just, the writer just was like, man, I really can't shake the idea of Tim Allen with a big belly out of my head. I want to see him inflate. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I know that I have the power to make it happen through the written word and through the producing this film.
And Tim will do it. He's a great sport.
Like, it's a fun, a lot of people don't know this, but that was not originally a Christmas movie. Making it about Santa Claus was actually an 11th hour edition. It was originally just called Pregnant Tim Allen.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
It's a game where you impregnate Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm. Secretly.
No, you're Santa Claus, but you have dishonored powers. And this would be good, man. There's a holiday movie called Arthur Christmas that is from Aardman, the Wallace and Gromit people.
Yeah, Aardman, like, Aardman the Art of Arc, right? It's Arthur Christmas.
Yeah, Arthur. Wait, what did I say?
Oh, you said it right. It's just, you said Arthur, so I assumed it's the Aardvark, the one with the, he has to, like, to wear a yellow sweater.
No, friend. It's not the cartoon. No.
Ah, darn it.
That's really good, but it's about the logistics of being Santa Claus.
Okay.
And so I like that. It's like, it's a game where it's a speed run stealth game. You got to get in that fucking chimney and you got to toss that present out because mathematically you have 0.0056 seconds to do it.
Right.
If you want to get to all the children's houses.
You would, I think in order for Santa to do what Santa does, it would require him to actually pull off some high level speed runner. You got to clip through the floor and then in for every frame of all 60 frames, you're actually, the game is shoving you through the ground and into different houses. Mm-hmm. And you got to really just hammer on the A button to drop those presents.
He fucking, like, throws himself into the street and gets hit by a truck, which launches him into the window of another house. And he's like, damage boost.
Yeah. Skips him to chapter 9.
Mm-hmm. This could be good. It's like part Dishonored, part Paperboy. Because every kid that doesn't get a present, maybe they stop believing. Maybe they convert.
Maybe they become, like, in the next cycle, they have grown up into very mean adults. And then
God, that's good.
They're enemies. You know, kind of like, you know how in the original Mario Bros, when the turtles get to the bottom and then they jump back up to the top, they're, like, red and angry and much stronger?
Yeah.
They are much harder to give gifts to because they're so sad about last Christmas.
Shit.
And also, they're adults, I think, also, there needs to be a visual way. So even though a year has passed, I think they have all grown up into adults, just so you have, like, a visual indicator of this is going to be harder to get a gift for.
Yeah. So every generation, every level is its own generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones you didn't get to are adults in the next generation. What's good is, like, we can have a lot of fun with that. We're, like, by level 10, maybe there's, like, you know, spaceships and, like, everybody's wearing, like, Star Trek clothes. And it can be, like, a future
dream. Oh. And that's going to be harder for the player because we don't know what anyone wants as a present in the future.
Yeah, so you're flying your sleigh around trying to get to all the houses real quick, but there's flying cars, and you know, laser guns and stuff.
I'm worried, like,
and we can put in, like, Captain Kirk and have him do, like, a cameo as a joke.
Mm-hmm. As so, sort of a celebrity gift receiver. Who pops up on one of your runs.
It's just like an Easter egg.
When you say pops up, you mean he pops up out of the corner, like on some toasty
shit. Out of the corner.
Like Mortal Kombat. His head more comes up and he goes Star Trek and then goes back down.
Yeah. I don't know how we would translate these powers over because there's one where you turn into a shadow monster and you consume somebody from the ground.
Yeah. Like, what is Santa's equivalent of turning into a swarm of rats? You know? Elves?
I mean, maybe just that.
Maybe Santa just turns into a swarm of rats and runs down. I mean, that's how he gets down the chimney, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Santa
turns into a bunch of nasty rats.
And maybe this is a question that I should be asking, like, WikiHow and not you, Griffin. But can Santa blink?
Can he blink? Santa doesn't have traditional eyes.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, in the Dishonored parlance, can Santa blink through time and space to teleport forward and then sort of clamber up ledges? Do you know what I mean? Can Santa blink from rooftop to rooftop?
No, stupid. He's got reindeer that he rides around on. He can't teleport. He's just like an old, strong man.
So I guess I'm just trying to think of how Dishonored mechanics would, like, oh shit. Wait, what's that? Isn't there a power in Dishonored 2, though, where you can, like, you can tie two people's fates together? Like, you connect them.
Yeah, you can domino them.
Yeah. What if you dominoed every child in a neighborhood, gave a present to one of them, boom, 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 you're done. That neighborhood's complete.
You just, like, you give one of them one bike, and they open it up, and the excitement they feel goes to all the other kids, but they didn't get bikes.
No, but they don't know that they didn't get bikes.
No, dumb kids.
Stupid children. This seems like it's a meaty little slice of game.
I mean, I feel like the game we did right before this was better, but to be honest, ever since we talked about Impreg Tim Allen, like, I actually forget what we talked about before that.
Yeah, I don't know what any of the other games you did this episode, but I just think it's...
Man,
tis the
Nick,
season.
I've got a child. I can't be talking about Impreg Tim Allen now.
You should be more concerned about...
He might hear this podcast one day and be like, you had that? You talked about that with Nick while I was in the other room.
Like, minutes later. You know those, like, tapes with Bach on them that you're supposed to play for your kids? You're doing the opposite of that right now.
Yeah, this is not little Einstein.
You should be more worried about W-Preg than M-Preg at this stage in your life.
What's that?
Women being pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you, because I think that's how you had your baby.
That is where babies happen.
Mm-hmm. Is there a name for this? Because I do like doubling down on a sort of a seasonal Santa Christmas episode treat. I mean, Dishonored already has the word ho in it, so maybe it's dis-ho-ho-honored.
Fuck it, yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Mission, another one in the books.
Another holiday classic. I bet people are going to listen to this one every year.
Yep. Oh, I got to boot up the old Christmas, Cool Games Ain't Christmas special. Mm-hmm. Get the whole family around the fire and enjoy it together.
Turn on the Vince Guaraldi and think about Tim Allen just inflating wildly.
Isn't the cover of that DVD him just fully
holding
puffed
his belly, and it's ventricular?
Yeah, it's like
lenticular, lenticular.
His splines have been reticulated, and he's just a perfect circle with arms going in every direction.
What if he burst? No, we can't.
What's in him? I'm dumb because I googled Santa Claus thinking that it would show me something other than pictures of Santa Claus.
I did
put the E on it, but then it was like, this is the second time this episode Google has been like including results for Santa Claus with an ad. Like,
did you mean sperm on Santa Claus? What? Google?
Leave me alone. They thought that I spelled it wrong. I didn't. I wanted the 1994 movie, The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen. This Christmas, the snow hits the fan. Walt Disney Pictures
that's
presents.
Fine.
Yeah. Oh my God. The frame of the trailer on IMDb is just him staring down at his new gut and kind of holding it. He's got kind of a good, kind of a good daddy beard in the early stage of that movie, like a short gray, like Marcus Fenix in Gears of War 4 looking ass, like before he's gone full Santa. He's kind of just got what I think of as like a very good look.
No, he looks really good.
He does. That middle
stage.
They
never focus on that part in the movie.
No.
It's always like a joke, like, oh, he eats so many cookies now and he has to wear sweats because it's all he can fit in. And it's like with a little bit of effort, like. He looks fucking great.
I didn't know that there was a third Santa Claus. I knew there was a Santa Claus 2. Did you know that there's a Santa Claus 3?
I was working at a movie theater when Santa Claus 3
came out. Okay, so you know that Martin Short plays Jack Frost. Yeah. I'm looking at the cover of this DVD, and we need to end the episode because it's... Although I will...
Martin Short's Jack Frost in Santa Claus 3. I had to build a fucking cardboard standee of him, and I wanted to take it home and just hang it over my bed every night. So when I woke up, I got out of bed as quickly as possible.
It's so scary. I'm looking at him, and he is a real fright.
He is a fright.
I will say the Santa Claus 3 : The Escape Clause is a pretty good name for a movie.
Yeah, and that was the last Santa Claus movie because they couldn't think of any other Claus
no.
things.
Although, the tagline, Frost Bites, November 3rd. Again, solid stuff.
Solid, pretty good.
Thank.
Is there can you Google Martin Short impreg? Just kidding, you don't need to. Interspace already exists. Thank you very much.
You saved me a Google. Thank you for listening to Cool Games, Inc. We'll be back in... When do you think we'll be back? You tell me.
Man, I don't know. I, so we probably... Just like... Love y'all. This show is a blast to put together, and we love the response. But like, I'm technically still on leave,
yeah.
And I'm going to have family in town.
Griffin has done two episodes already, just out of the kindness of his heart, while he's on his break, because he just loves you and he loves this show so much.
So yeah, there probably won't be one next week, but maybe we'll do a New Year's. Talk about doing a Game of the Year special. Maybe we'll finally
say that out loud. You're promising the stars right now.
Well, thank you all for listening. Have a happy holidays from all of us at the Cool Games Inc. crew
headquarters.
We'll see you next year. Until then, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fun.